Do you have any other memories of the characters around Fielding? Anyone that sort of springs to mind that you remember in particular?
No, I can't say I do. Apart from the gang that I worked with, you know, I can't really say that I could remember anybody in particular. So many things happen in your life, don't they?
So you would have been in charge of the building maintenance, as we've talked about.
You
were a part of a team.
Yeah.
And so you would have maintained the building and done the jobs as and when the memos came through. You also said in your email that you had a great anecdote about fire practice. Could you just tell us that story, please?
Yes, well, there's the regular thing of a fire practice, which would happen on a Friday afternoon normally. And it was never known when it was going to happen because it didn't happen every week, but they'd have a fire practice. And so the alarms would go, the fire bell would go, and the procedures would be adopted. And, of course, they had their own fire team that got together, and they had a small mobile pump, which they housed in a building just off Lantoni Road. And they would respond to that and then obviously attend to whatever was required. Now, apparently on this one occasion, a challenge had been set up with the fire officer in Gloucester that when they were going to have a real alarm, full fire exercise, they would actually call in the brigade as well. And so this alarm went off, and the Fieldings team responded, and the fire apparently was supposed to be in a building off Lantoni Road. So, of course, they responded accordingly. The fire engines turned up at Fieldings. They all drove into the main entrance, one behind the other, off Southgate Street. And they were there, backed up alongside the heavy machine shop, three fire engines up there in the wrong place. And so then they had to reverse out into Southgate Street to get to the source of the fire. And so their timing was a long time. After timing of arrival was a long time after the Fielding and Platts Fire Brigade had attended the fire, a supposed fire. And I always remember afterwards, apparently the fire officers said, "We'll have another one, but they won't make the same mistake again."
So as part of your maintenance team, that wouldn't have included running the fire practices then? That would have been this fire team that Fieldings had?
Yeah, they were, I think, there were several picked out from the factory, I believe, that actually were trained and able to use the pumps. And it was a pump that they could actually manhandle themselves to any part of the factory. It was obviously on wheels and that, they could manhandle it to any part of the factory. But say the fact that they were there and located it and were there with the fire engine stuck in Southgate Street, couldn't get out.
It's a good thing it wasn't a real fire. Do you remember there being any accidents or incidents during your short time at Fieldings?
There was apparently a fire in the woodworking shop, which was off Baker Street, and apparently they'd been doing some welding there on the Saturday morning in the woodworking shop. The general work in the woodworking shop wasn't being done on the Saturday morning, and this work was being done on some pipeline or something in there. And it appeared a fire broke out early on the Saturday afternoon, and eventually it was contained, of course. But they seemed to think it was something that had come off one of the sparks and been smouldering away after they'd shut the shop and walked away. But that was a separate building to the rest of the factory. They had a timber store there, obviously, but it was quite a big fire there at that point.
So no accidents that you can remember where people had to either go to hospital or go to the first aid department at Fieldings?
No, not at all, no.
And you never went yourself to...
go, fortunately.
You were lucky. Thinking about the area around Fieldings, not just the works itself, but what Southgate Street and the docks area was like in the 60s when you were there, what was that area like?
Well, of course, it was. You had the petrol tankers coming up on the canal itself. You had the boats bringing timber up on the canal itself. So the docks were in regular use. And, of course, the dock area itself was building suppliers and timber suppliers. So it was a real working Gloucester docks, nothing like it is now, of course. But basically, that is my memories of it. The railway line running from Park Inn Road that came through the park served into both the wagon works and also, of course, Fieldings and through to the docks itself. So anything going from that side went through onto the main line at Californian Crossing.
And thinking about the shops around the area, can you remember some of those specifically? Were there hardware shops? Were there fish and chip shops? What were the shops around the area like?
You had a fish and chip shop on the corner, or near the corner of Spa Road, which was had a very, very good name. Coming down then to Submeadow Road, Submeadow Crossing, you actually had on the left, you had a very, very good ironmonger's. I've got a feeling it was Gilby Cool, I'm not certain. And then you had the post office, and of course you had the pub, the pilot. And you had Hygiene Laundry on the opposite side, opposite to what would now be the Travel Lodge Hotel, backing onto the park. That was a Hygienic Laundry there. And my actual first wife actually worked there. And so that was quite a busy area there. That's now been demolished, of course.
And you mentioned that sometimes you'd nip to the pub. Do you ever remember going into the pilot or any of the other pubs around the area?
It wasn't something that I would do myself. I didn't go out drinking as such. As I say, the Baker Street and the pilot opposite were quite popular places, especially when it came up to Christmas Eve lunchtime, you know, type of thing. But I tended not to. It wasn't my thing. I tended not to do it, you know.
And did you ever see or get involved in any of the social side at Fieldings, the sports side, the skittles, any of the sort of clubs or anything like that?
No, I'm not a sports person myself. I'm more hands-on. But in actual fact, no, I tended to be involved in the family, and they had a very good social club, and there were a lot of activities there. But I tended not to be involved, and I wouldn't know a lot about that in actual fact.
Graham, are there any other memories that come to mind of your time at being at Fieldings, stuff that only you would remember?
Well, others may remember this, but I remember at one point they were trying to produce a press that would make concrete sections for concrete garages. Now, at that time, you probably remember that these concrete sections in garages were actually large squares of concrete with a thick edge around the side of it, so that there were holes to go through it to bolt the sections together to make it a sectional garage. And the way that it was being produced at the time was that cement was cast into moulds and then left to dry before it could be then processed. And of course it was a very expensive and slow way of producing concrete slabs. Fielding and Platts had the opportunity of trying to make a press that would actually produce these slabs, so they could be then lifted off after all the water had been pressed out. They could be then lifted off and stacked on racks so they could be left to dry out, relieving the moulds. So it would save all these moulds needed to make the concrete slabs in the first place. And they had it at the top of the shop on that gangway that I spoke about earlier on. They had a cement mixer there and they had a press working there. And I distinctly remember them making these actual moulds and then lifting it off. And I remember, oh yes, it's working. And then suddenly a little bit of the thick edge would drop off and they'd have to start again. And they were consistently trying to get this press so that it would make it sufficient so that it would hold it together, so they could lift them off and then stack these moulds up. I never found out whether they succeeded in that, but certainly if they did, it would have meant a lot of money to the company, because the machines would have been very, very popular, very valuable to the manufacturers. But as I say, the main problem was squeezing the water out in the press and then actually lifting it off afterwards And there was always one little corner that eventually fell away just after they put it in position. And of course, then they'd have to try again. But as I say, it was quite a long time they were working on that. And I remember the cement mixer in the gangway mixing the cement for them to actually try these moulds. But whether it was ever perfected, I do not know.
Would you have been in charge then of getting the cement ready for them to use as part of that, or would that be people that were testing the machines that would have done that?
No, that was down to the men there actually working on the machine and that, and one of them would put his hand to a shovel and put it in the mixer, and then they would try again. Obviously, as it broke up, they put it back in and have another go, you know. But yes, it was something they were really trying to perfect, because at that time, that type of garage was very popular.
Sounds like they needed some modifications in the drawing office on that machine.